Thank you so much, team. If you've got your Bibles with you, go ahead and get them out, as we often encourage you. If you don't have a Bible with you, we tend to put the scriptures up here and encourage you, but that's not to discourage you from bringing your Bibles on a regular basis and enjoying some time as we dig in and focus on the church challenge. We're now looking at the early church and the purposes that God lists for the church. And especially the early church, we can learn a good model for us of what elements cause us to be the church that God wants us to be. And so in terms of the challenge that's there is to challenge everybody to participate. We've talked already about authentic community and how God wants to bring the church together in a way so that we're relating to each other face-to-face, not just the back of everybody's heads like we sometimes do in a large worship service, but it says they met together from house to house. They got together in their homes. They got together in small groups, and we are encouraging authentic community through that. Last week, Chuck brought us a phenomenal message about being in worship every day. The worship isn't just an event that we do once a week, but it's rather a lifestyle where we present our bodies to God, a holy and living sacrifice that is our spiritual service of worship. It's an everyday thing. Today, we're zeroing in on the portion of Scripture that talks about the Word of God, that talks about Scripture, and especially how we can grow spiritually through God's Word, through prayer, through the disciplines that He's given to us. In this case, it's the spiritual verse of Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves, catch that part? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, they didn't have the apostles' teaching like you and I do in a bound leather back book, or on a palm pilot that we could, or a tablet that we could scroll through our computer. It was so handy for us. They actually had the apostles in person coming to teach and to lead and to do the very things that we now are reading about in the book of Acts. But they devoted themselves to the teaching. Why do you suppose they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching? One reason. The apostles had the stamp, the mark, the imprint, the impression of Jesus on their lives. The Bible says they noted the disciples were different. They weren't just the average fishermen, the unlearned and educated that had come to become disciples. Now it says they took note because they had been with Jesus. They were now disciples, devotees. They were followers of Jesus, and the imprint of Christ was on their life, and they wanted to know, how do we become more like Jesus? In essence, that's the goal of all spiritual growth, is to become more like Christ. Christ's likeness in our lives. Every Christian, every person has the challenge, the opportunity to be growing. In fact, I would say if you're not growing, you're dying. That's not something we like to think about, but that's true in pretty much all of life, isn't it? How do you remember when you were growing up? Did they ever put a doorway or a refrigerator or something in your home where you marked the growth? For us, we moved a couple of times, and I hated to move away from the house that had our growth mark. So I was a kid of 13 years old, and we were moving, and it had all the marks from when I was 4 years old. And we're like, can we take that door jam, you know, with us? Why? Well, what's the big deal? It's just a measurement of some height growth. You know, well, we all like to, it's growth. You know, the best days when you kind of pass your parent, your mom, you know? It's like, yeah. What's the worst day when your kids pass you? You go, oh my gosh, my son's a foot taller than me now. What do I do? You know? Yeah. But we mark our physical growth. But here's the question. Do you take as much delight? Do you take as much excitement? Can you measure in your own life where you're going spiritually? You know, at what point are you? Or is it some, well, I got baptized a while ago, and so there's one mark on your whole growth chart, and that was the day you accepted Jesus. And since then, you've kept no track. You know? I'm saying that's not a good thing, Dottie. No. It is good to have that mark on there, but it's not the only mark. Okay? That's what I'm trying to encourage you about today, is there are opportunities to grow and to chart, to mark, to even celebrate your growth. Because if you're not growing, you're dying. How can you tell if someone's dying? Maybe you've seen this happen in someone's life. If you stop learning, that's the first step to stop and go. Do you want to be a lifelong learner? Man, I just love it, going to a seminar or something like yesterday, and to see someone who's up in their 80s or 90s, that's been a man or a woman of God for years, and I just love to watch them, and they come up, and they sit with bated breath, looking at the speaker with a notebook, and you kind of go, oh my gosh, that's what I want to do when I'm 80 or 90. I want to be so eager to learn that there's nothing that would hold me back. What do they say about old dogs and new tricks? Phooey when it comes to spiritual life. That's not true. There is not a person, there's not an age where you can stop learning. Stop learning. I mean, because we're talking about the eternal, omnipotent God. When do you stop learning about Him? When do you know it all about Him? I can't. Now, I've only had about 40 years to grow, you know, and I'm just getting started. When do we ever stop? No. If you stop learning, you know what? You start dying. So I just encourage you, have that eager anticipation of saying, I am a lifelong learner. I'm going to drink in from the master at whatever age and at whatever time. You stop maturing. And this is where other people can see the growth in your life. They can see the imprint, the mark, the stamp of Jesus on your life. Do people regularly say to you, I want what you've got? I want to know what your secret is. Could I find out about the person that you're becoming? Because I want some of that. You can measure it. The idea of maturing, growing, becoming more Christ-like in your life. And the third one is your heart. I mean, the essence of spiritual life boils down to those two things, loving God and loving people. If your heart is not expanding with more love for God and more love for people, guess what? It's contracting. It's getting harder instead of softer. The hardened heart is the biggest mold and mildew in our lives. It's the disease that will rot us from the inside out. So if we stop caring, well, you do just that. You stop caring. How's your spiritual life? How are you doing? Where are your marks of growth and growth in your life? Everything in all of life grows, doesn't it? I mean, life is all about growing. It's all about growing, especially when it comes to spiritual life. You know, if you stop updating your software or your phone apps, you get behind, right? They're constantly being updated. Some of you are frustrated with that, aren't you? Same thing goes with your relationship with God. It's designed to be an every day, every moment. Your mercies are new every morning kind of thing. It's not designed to be just a historical mark in the sand, and that's it. It's designed to be a relationship. I told my wife 37 years ago I loved her, and if I change my mind, I'll let her know, but I'm not going to tell her anymore. It's like, what? We wouldn't treat our wife or husband that way, stay married anyway. Why do we think we can treat God that way? Life is all about growing. Look at this verse. Look at this verse from Colossians. So this is the Apostle Paul saying, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus, how do we receive Christ Jesus? By faith, trusting Him, opening our lives. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted, look at that, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith that you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving or thankfulness. Think about that. The imagery here is one of a tree that's rooted and grounded and growing. Think about that. Why would the Apostle Paul use rooted and built up growing? Trees never stop growing. Have you noticed that? As long as they're alive, they're growing. Some of us went on that hike up by Paradise, and you got this big round log with all the tree years marked on it, clear back to Christopher Columbus and before. And you go, my gosh, ring after ring after ring. What do the rings represent? Another year, another year, another year. Growth. Yeah. And God's plan for us is never to stop growing. You don't say, well, I'm at a certain point, and I'm just going to stop growing. Nope. Just the opposite. The further we get in our spiritual lives, the more we ought to accelerate our growth. He says, all the more as you see the day drawing near, you know, be more urgent and more impressed with the urgency than ever. Yeah. Continue to grow as you have received him. Now, I want to take a minute and, well, maybe a little longer than a minute, if you give it to me, and talk about 1 John chapter 2, where there's actually a breakdown in the description of growth. The Apostle John, different than the Apostle Paul, is giving us a glimpse into three, at least, categories of growth. Categories of growth. So these are kind of the marks on the doorpost, the marks on the refrigerator that would say, here's where I'm at, here's where I want to be, here's where I want to keep accelerating and growing. Let me just read it first, and then we'll break it down a little bit. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write you, fathers, because you've known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Let me just talk a little bit about these three categories. And if you got your notes, these would be a place to kind of break it down and talk, first of all, about spiritual children. He says, little children, little ones. It'd be like this little bundle over here in Travis's arms. Or you got yours, Amanda? Samuel's back there. You know, these little bundles that are almost so small you don't want to put them in the nursery, right? Who trusts those crazy characters in the nursery, right? Yeah. But we love these little children, you know? How do you get started? And I think that's what you were celebrating, Dottie. How do you get started in the kingdom? You are born again. Not born of the flesh, born of the Holy Spirit. What's the Bible say? You must be born again. Don't ever let someone put down born again Christians, because it's the only way to get into the kingdom. He says, how do I receive it? To be born again. Here's what he said. He said, to as many as receive him, to them gave he the power, the right, to become children of God. Yeah. Receiving Jesus, receiving Christ, becoming a Christian. Here's how he puts it in the 1 John passage. You've known him who is from the beginning. Young men, be strong. Oh, let's see, I'm continuing that. Let me go here. Went the wrong way. Because your sins are forgiven you. That's the beginning point. Receiving Jesus, having your sins forgiven. Let me just address anyone who might be here today who's not yet started on their spiritual journey of saying, Lord, I receive you into my life. I want you to be the Lord, the Savior, the Master of my life. Yesterday, the pastors kind of lined up at the front of the auditorium, and the speaker said, if there's anyone here who doesn't yet know Jesus Christ as Savior, come forward. A man came forward, a man named Stephen, with another brother behind him, Ron, and said, could you, Pastor Bruce, lead me to a saving faith in Jesus? And even though it was only 5-10 minutes to have him confess Jesus as his Lord and his Savior, and to see along the line that just happened and along pastor after pastor after pastor. It's not difficult, it's not hard, But it's very, very important to let God hear you with your mouth confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what it's about. I've got a card here that actually outlines much of the scriptures that talk about receiving Jesus, becoming a Christian. Jim, where are you over here? Would you come up here? And Ryan, would you come up here and help me pass these out? It's got a sticky back kind of thing you can peel off because it's made for the back or the front of your Bible. It's a tool. Actually, I think Jim Hyde, one of our brothers in Lacey, had it in the back of his Bible and kind of got reproduced for it. It talks about faith, repentance, baptism, trusting Christ, and living a life of faith. It's really a handy tool with scriptures right on it. If you need to have help leading someone to a point of faith and trust in Christ, this is a good place to start. Really, it's answer to the questions when people said, what must I do to be saved? And the apostle said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift that's given to you and to all who are called. That's it. If you didn't get one, share. Okay, sounds good. This will be a tool, an opportunity for you to help someone with that becoming a child of God, becoming an introduced person to the walk, to the life, to the following of Jesus. See, this little children part, it is about being born again. It's also about having your sins forgiven. You know, that was the impetus in chapter 2 of Acts. What must we do to be saved? He said, repent, be immersed, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Because they were feeling this pierced to the heart feeling of guilt about their sins. That's what becoming a Christian is all about. You become a baby in Christ as your sins are forgiven. And that's why we celebrate so often on a regular basis the cross of Jesus Christ that buys us that forgiveness, that takes a substitutionary place so that our sins are paid for, blotted out, white as snow. Yeah. What a privilege. What an opportunity. Well, not only are our sins forgiven, but note that we're all called spiritual children. You know, we are all called to receive him. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, 1 Peter says, but of imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God. We just sang about that. Thy word. The word of God is that seed that allows us to be born again, born anew, and brought into the kingdom. Now, as eager and excited as we are when people are born into the kingdom, how tragic if a baby stays a baby, right? Something's wrong if the baby is 20 years old and still in an incubator. That's tragic. And yet that often happens in the spiritual realm. Because the very thing we're talking about today, people don't sense the opportunity of the Word of God to cause them to grow and to become strong and to allow God's Word to grow in and through their lives. Some believers are still little children. So the Bible says, you have known the Father. One of the key things about being a baby and starting to grow is to know the Father. Because you are his sons, God sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts. The Spirit calls out, Abba, Father. We are able to relate to God as our heavenly Father and allow his word, his food, to grow us on a regular basis because we know the Father. The Spirit you received did not make you slaves so that you are in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Underline that if you can. And by him we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit himself testifying with our spirit that we are children of God. Turn to somebody next to you and just say, you're a child of God. Okay, now say it the other way, to the other person. Okay. We are children of God. So we don't ever put that down, being children, but we don't want to stay children. We want to celebrate the fact that we've been made children of God, but just like my children are now going through their late 20s and early 30s, they're no longer baby children. I celebrate their adult children that they are. You know what I'm saying? God wants you to celebrate the growth, even though we continue to be children. What are some characteristics of children? Let's just list these real quick. Jot these down. I mean, we could take any one of these little ones. We could take a couple of my grandkids, and you'd see these things. Children are by nature needy. You know, what do they need? What do they need, Amanda?
Everything.
The diapers change, food in their bottle, everything. They are helpless to a large degree. You don't send a little 3-month-old out and say, take care of yourself, you're big enough now. No, they're needy. They're needy. Sometimes they're even carefree, little children. They don't know they're needy, right? All they do is whine and cry and food supplied, right? Yeah. Well, make the spiritual application. They're also very selfish, right? Me, 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 my, you know? Yeah, it happens. That's why I like the front of Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life. It says, it's not about me. You know, it's not about you. It's something our culture doesn't say to us. It promotes selfishness to a large degree. They don't know what they don't know, right? So at this point, they're ignorant. They haven't got a clue, we would say. And boy, are they demanding. Now, the Apostle Paul's dealing with a whole group, a whole church. The day of Pentecost, they're talking about 3,000 people getting baptized. Guess what? They're all in that category. They're all baby believers. Needy, carefree, but selfish, ignorant, and demanding. And as such, we would say simple-minded, right? Aren't those some things that you kind of don't want to be? Now, the carefree part, we kind of like that idea, because we kind of want to let go of some worry and concern, maybe. But for the most part, those are fairly negative, aren't they? Well, let's move on. Let's move on to our favorite category, teenagers. How many of you would consider yourself a spiritual teenager? Maybe you're not a baby, but maybe you're a teen. Now, this is the part of the scripture where it says young man, young woman, young person. Here's where you lie in the spiritual realm of things. You are a spiritual, I use the word teen, in-betweener. Not a child, but not yet a reproducing adult. You're in between. He says, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one, that's a key aspect to being a young person. There's an overcoming aspect. Because you are strong, teenagers get to be strong and strapping. Who wants to take them on, right? Maybe some of you felt like that as a teenager yourself, in your prime. God abides in you. The word of God abides in you. The word of God abides in you. Characteristic of a strong, growing teen in the Lord. And you have overcome the wicked one. Take some time and let's focus on what that looks like, how that rolls. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Spiritual teens, they know conflicts. Jot that down. There's probably no more age of conflict than teens. I mean, they have identity crisis. Who am I? You know, the idea of being treated as a child, not being treated as an adult, vice versa, it's an area of conflict. And here he's saying, I can put this commendation on you because you know conflicts and you have overcome. In fact, you abide in, the Bible says, God's word, and it abides in you. Remember what Jesus said in John 15? If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask what you will and it will be done for you. There's this sense of abiding in God's word, in Christ's word. It allows us to defeat Satan, We just sang about it. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word have I hidden in my heart, Psalm says, that I might not sin against you. So as a baby, you're not so worried about that. But as a young person in the Lord, you begin to say, I want to see my life be more Christ-like. And you put God's word in your heart, and it begins to produce Christ-like fruit. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. What did Jesus do every time there was a temptation? Boom, 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 it is written. Boom, it is written. Boom, it is written. He responded to the temptation in his life with God's word that he had hidden in his heart. It is written. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. That's the call for every person to say, grow up. Don't allow the evil one to have such presence in your life. Resist him, and he'll flee from you. Be the, like Joshua in the book of Joshua, where three times in a row he says, be strong and courageous. Stand your ground. Amen. Don't let the evil one have a root to take over in your life. If you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. Take the sword of the Spirit. It's the only offensive portion of the armor. I mean, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, you know, I've got all these things. The only offensive weapon is what? The sword, which is what? The Word of God. If you want to have victory in your life, it's not just going to come with the helmet of salvation. That's the baby style. If you want to have victory in your life, it's going to come as you wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How do you do that? By getting into, on a regular basis, God's Word. And letting more than it, you getting into it, letting it get into you. It's not so important how many times you've been through the Bible. What's important is how many times the Bible's been through you. Right? Because people can just read the Bible and not get anything out of it. Not let it soak in at all. Not let the Holy Spirit illuminate it at all. Well, let's talk about some characteristics of the spiritual teens. Sometimes they're clumsy, right? Any of you have any clumsy teens? We're not going to talk to the teens, but, you know. Sometimes that happens. Why? Because they're growing at a rapid rate, and they're still growing into their coordination. That's a good thing, because it shows they're growing. Can we put up with each other and let people be clumsy around us? Can we let someone in a Bible study say the wrong thing and not go, oh, what? It's okay, as people are growing, to even make mistakes. Yeah, we all do all the time. Some are just more clumsy than others. You know, they are learning rapidly. Everything is new. You know, during my youth ministry days, I taught 37 different kids how to drive in my 63 Volkswagen Bug. In the back parking lots, mostly. You know, you remember that. You remember that, don't you, Dale? Yeah, yeah. What, your kid. Yeah, yeah. You know, and when they're learning rapidly. Now, do they make mistakes? Yeah, they're clumsy. They don't know how to do it. Now they're expert. Now they're teaching their kids. Yeah. Putting up with and allowing those qualities. They need leaders. They need mentors. They need people to come along and say, follow me as I follow after Christ. Come on. Come on. They need the next category we're going to talk about, spiritual parents. They're hungry in many cases. How many of you had a teenager eat you out of house and home? So, you know, just put a padlock on the freezer and the refrigerator and say, no, you know, nothing till dinner. Yeah, because they're hungry. They're growing so rapidly. Now, here the Bible actually says they're strong. You kind of go, well, they're not mature, but they're strong. Now, that can be dangerous. That can actually be dangerous. They don't know their own strength because they don't know what they need to know by mentors, by other leaders. He actually gives them that deal. Yeah, let me talk a little bit about the parents now. So we've gone from spiritual teens to spiritual parents. when you go from teenhood to parenthood, here's some of the verses it says. They have known you from the beginning. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. One of the things I want to say is that the difference between a teen and an adult is time and obedience. Time to put into practice God's word, not just to know it in your head, but to let it flow into your life. The people who could see these men had been with Jesus, it was because they had not just time, but time and obedience. They looked like Christ. Mature Christians have walked with God long enough that they're consistently bring God into their everyday lives, into their everyday living. That's what the mark or the sign of maturity is all about. Time alone is insufficient. I know people that have been Christians for 40 years and are still babies. They've only got one notch on their growth chart, and it's the day they became a Christian. People look at their life and say, there is no appreciable difference between 40 years ago when they accepted and received Christ in their life and now. How does that happen? They haven't allowed themselves to be in the environment of growth, because growth is the most natural thing in the world. As long as the environment is there to grow, you're going to grow. Everything around us grows, right? Even Ebola viruses grow, right? Even things we don't want to grow and reproduce. The same is true of our spiritual life if the environment's there. A lot of people don't allow themselves to be put in the environment. They think just time is going to do it. Time is not going to do it. Paul came to the Christians in Corinth and he said, you guys are still babies. I've got to come along and give you spiritual milk. He says, you know, you don't even qualify as maturing believers. You're still babies in Christ. The years had not done it. Now for him, it was like 5 years. They became Christians, came back 5 years later, and he's still saying, you're still babies. You're still infants. You're still so immature. Let's go on to this one. Characteristics of spiritual parents or fathers, we would say. They reproduce. Who is it that you're stamping the mark of Christ into? Who is it that you see yourself responsible for leading to a deeper relationship with Christ? If you could list on five fingers the people that you're trying to influence and deepen in their walk with Christ, who is it? If you need some spiritual babies, we've got them around here. Some of you I'm looking at right now, some of you were just baptized a couple of months ago. You're just at that early stage. Maybe you need someone in their teens. You're ready for a challenge. We got them. Look around. We'll help you connect. And I bet God's already put some in your life. Who is it that you feel personally responsible to and for? After the first of the year, I know our ladies are going to take an even more determined mentoring relationship. The guys are starting to do that within the men's ministry, to hook up with someone that we can grow to the next level. Amen. And encourage. Amen. In that. They reproduce. Doesn't every living thing that's healthy reproduce? Are you healthy? Are you reproducing? Have you led anyone to Christ? If the Lord answered every prayer of yours this last year, how many more people would be in the kingdom? Are you praying on a regular basis for people to come to the knowledge and the love of God? They instruct. They're eager to give the wisdom that God's put in their life, and they love. That's the key mark, to love as he loves and to allow that to be the number one fruit. They provide, they protect, they set an example. Those are all things that are fruit of spiritual fathering, spiritual mothering, spiritual parents. Spiritual growth is mostly about reproducing and allowing God to use our lives that way. Let me end with this thought. Actually, there's an application we just heard about, and I've just been using it the last little bit. that tries to help people remember to get into God's Word. So just pause your notes for just a moment as you take a look at this. It's called Tandem. Yeah, another tool. This is an example, I think, of how God's putting into action areas that will help us grow. Because really what it's about is having our environment around us, the Word of God, worship. In fact, let me just end with those steps for our spiritual growth. I'll list these real quick. First one is to eat. You know, if you're going to grow physically, you got to have input. You got to have nutrition. You got to eat. How do you eat spiritually? I'm saying eat the Word of God. I don't care how it gets into you, whether it's daily devotions in a certain time every morning, whether it's as you listen in your car, if you use one of the Bible apps, it doesn't matter, that part, but that on a regular basis, you're feeding on God's Word. The second thing is rest in Him. You know, every living organism needs rest. How do you do that? It's a trust issue, but I'm calling this worship. You're putting your faith, your trust in Him and resting in Jesus. Come to worship, be in worship, live in worship all the time. Yeah. Could I encourage you? You're here today, but to just make the priority gathering. As the early church, you see what happened to them? They gathered on a daily basis. Gather on a regular basis. Don't forsake the assembling together as some do, but all the more as you see the day drawing near. And I want to encourage you about exercise. That's the reproduced part, that you would serve. Trust Him, obey Him, but serve Him. Put it into practice. Put it into action. If you're able to eat God's Word and drink in from Him, if you're able to be in a regular place of trusting Him and resting in worship, if you're at a place where you can serve and launch out, I think you'll see some remarkable notches in the door of your life as you grow spiritually. Are you ready? Ready for a challenge? That's the challenge. Participate in God's Word for spiritual growth. Would you make a commitment today to follow Him in a new way this year? This is a fall. This is going into the new year, going into the holidays. This would be a perfect time to resolve. I'm going to drink in God's Word at a new rate, new opportunity. It's not going to be sitting on the shelf. It's going to be set in my heart, in my soul. Let's stand together and pray. Loving Father, thank You for the opportunity to dig into Your Word today. Thank You for the richness of Your Word. Thank You for the disease prevention of Your Word. Thank You for all the growth that comes as Your Word is implanted and growing in our lives. Lord, I'm praying for my brothers and sisters here today that we wouldn't just be those who've received Your Word, although if there's somebody here today that's not yet received You, that this would be a perfect time for them to invite You to be the Lord, the Master, the Savior of their life. Lord, for those who've already received You but just need a prompt to grow, no matter how old in Christ they are, no matter how many chronological years have gone by, would You cause us to grow and grow and grow? For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.